Good morning. Our scripture reading for today comes from Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 35. Luke chapter 18. We will start in verse 35 today and read throughout the rest of the chapter, verse 43. We're looking today at a great story. It's a story that takes us back to the first century to a man who was blind. But what we want to see today is that there's much more than just a blind man being healed here. There's something very practical that we want to look at. And so we're going to call this story the story of a blind man who saw some things that others did not. We're going to be talking about honesty today, and especially honesty in the sight of God. You know, oftentimes people want other people to be honest with them, but we need to look into our hearts. We need to look at ourselves, and we need to ask the question, are we honest with other people? Are we honest with ourselves, and especially, are we being honest in the sight of God? Are we honest with the Bible? Are we honest with God and with what God has told us? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves, and how badly we need to do that. Every single day, folks, we need to take a long, hard look at ourselves, and we need to look at ourselves honestly. The Bible says back in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so it all begins in our heart. Our words, our actions, our whole being start with our heart. And it is so important for us to be honest. Just to simply be honest in our lives is something that God absolutely requires of us if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to be right in His sight. And so this story today is the story of a man who was honest, even though he was blind and could not see what other people saw. So let's begin reading here today in Luke chapter 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So the Bible says that simply what happened here is that you have this blind man. He's sitting by the wayside begging. He wasn't able to work like other people did, and so he depended on what other people would give him. He had the lowly condition and the state of life where he was a beggar. On top of being blind, he was a beggar. And the Bible says that he heard a commotion. He knew that something was happening. And wherever Jesus went, of course, he drew a crowd. And so the Bible tells us in Luke 18, verse 36, that he wanted to know what all the uproar was about. He wanted to know what all this noise meant. And the Bible tells us in verse 37 that there were some that told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Now, I want you to notice in particular how the blind man looks at this, and I want you to notice what the blind man calls him. Now, notice in particular the change here that occurs. Look at verse 37. The Bible says there that the people told the blind man that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was passing by. But what did the blind man call him? What did the blind man say to Jesus? Did he say, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me? No, he did not. Now, that would have been fine. That would have been proper, but that's not what he said. He didn't call him Jesus of Nazareth. The Bible says in verse 38 that he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then again in verse 39, he said it again. After the people tried to quieten him down, you notice in verse 39 that they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. Evidently, they're trying to guard Jesus here. Evidently, they thought that this man might be a bother to Jesus. And again, we have a lesson here, folks. Like the lesson that we saw when there were people that brought the little children to Jesus, Remember the disciples rebuked them? The disciples didn't want these people bringing little children and babies to Jesus because evidently they thought that they would bother Jesus. They thought that they would get in the way. They thought that they would interfere. And so the disciples tried to prevent them. But Jesus said, no, you let these little children come to me. And here again in Luke 18, we find that these people evidently thought that this blind beggar is just going to get in the way. He's just going to aggravate. And so Jesus maybe has better things to do and he doesn't have time for this man. And again, how wrong they were, because Jesus does have time for him. But what I'm talking about right now at this point is what he calls Jesus. In verse 38, he referred to him as Jesus, the Son of David. And again, in verse 39, when they tried to quieten him down and keep him from talking, he cried so much the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Two times he referred to him as the Son of David. Now, we might look at that expression and say, well, what he means by that is that Jesus is a descendant of David. But he's not saying that Jesus is just a descendant of David. The expression, the Son of David, meant something very special to these Jews at this time. Let me refer you to a commentary on this passage. It's found in Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 41. Matthew 22, verse 41. I want you to notice especially here what Jesus and the Pharisees mean by the expression, the Son of David. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 41, the Bible says, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The Son of David." Now, Jesus is not asking them, "Who do you think I descended from, or do you think I'm the Son of David?" He says, "What about the Christ, the Messiah?" Even though these Pharisees did not accept the fact that he was the Messiah, at least Jesus knew that when the Messiah came in their minds, that they would consider him to be the descendant of David who would sit on the throne of Israel. And so in verse 42, Jesus said, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The Son of David." So the expression, the Son of David, in Jewish terms in the first century, was an equivalent of the Messiah. It referred to the same thing. And so this man, this blind beggar, believes that Jesus is the Son of David, that is, he believes he is the Christ, he believes that he is the Messiah, the Son of David. Now, how did he know that? How did this blind beggar find out that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of David, that he is the Messiah? He's blind, and so he can't read the scriptures like other people, so how did he discover that? Well, the blind man, just because he was blind, was not cut off from all knowledge. He had heard of Jesus of Nazareth. He had heard about the great miracles that Jesus did. He may have even heard some of Jesus' teaching or heard someone who heard what Jesus taught, and so the word was relayed to him in that way. And on top of that, he may have had an awareness of the Old Testament that we just don't give him credit for. He may have visited the temple and heard the Bible being taught there. He may have grown up in a family where he was taught the scriptures, even though he was blind, and we don't know how long he had been blind, of course. He may have visited the local synagogue and heard the scriptures read and heard the scriptures taught. But one thing we know for sure, he knew enough about the Bible, and he knew enough about Jesus Christ to connect the two. He knew that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. Even though he had this handicap, he was able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, there's no excuse for a man, regardless of who he is and where he's at and what his condition is, when it comes to understanding God and knowing about Jesus Christ and being a Christian. Because the Bible says, "Seek and ye shall find, ask and it shall be given, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Jesus said in John 7, verse 17, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." Jesus said, if any man wants to know the truth, he can know whether it's a human doctrine or whether it's actually from God. Now, this man, this blind beggar, knows the truth. And so that is the point that I began with in this broadcast today. He sees something that others who have sight do not see. The Pharisees didn't see what this man saw. The Pharisees could read the Bible. The Pharisees thought that they knew the Bible better than just about anybody else. And the scribes and the Pharisees looked down on other people and said basically that they don't know the scriptures. So the scribes and the Pharisees would certainly be people who would look at this blind man and say, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He can't even read. He's blind. What does he know? And the fact is, he knew more than they did because he was honest. Not because he was more educated, but because he was more honest than they were. And so it is today, folks. You know, there are a lot of things that keep people from seeing the truth. These scribes and Pharisees had their eyesight, but they were not honest. And because they were not honest with the Bible, and because they were not honest with what they saw and what they heard in Jesus Christ, they did not accept the truth. There are many things that will blind a man to the truth. And one of the strongest walls between an individual and the truth and the acknowledging of the truth is pride. There are so many people that will not accept the truth. They will not acknowledge the truth, even though it's right in front of them, because they're too prideful to accept it. Pride blinds people to the truth. And these scribes and Pharisees were the ones that were really blind. They were blind in a spiritual sense. This man that we're looking at here, this blind beggar, was a whole lot better off than they were. And a blind man today who accepts the Bible and obeys the Bible and lives by the Bible is a lot better off than people that can see who are blind to the truth because of their own pride. Well, there are other things, of course, that blind people to the truth. Hate will blind a person. Preconceived ideas as far as religion is concerned. Ideas about the Bible that are not true. Denominational doctrines. The doctrines and the commandments and the traditions of men will all blind people and keep people from seeing the truth. Let's be like this man in Luke chapter 18. Let's be like the blind man here. Let's be honest with the Bible. Let's be honest with the facts. And let's be honest with ourselves. And if we're wrong, then we just need to admit it. We need to turn away from it. And we need to obey God. That is honesty. That is what is called in the Bible repentance. And it is absolutely necessary if we're going to be saved in God's sight. This blind man was honest. He saw some things that others did not see. Let us see the scriptures today, and let's be honest with God and in His sight. Thank you for listening today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.